It's that moment in the dead of winter when you pull the handle on the chest freezer and a wall of frost hits you, and you realize you have no idea what's actually at the bottom of the bin. You're staring at a landscape of white butcher paper and vacuum-sealed bricks, some labeled ground beef 2,024 inches, and others that are just mystery lumps of ice. It's a moment that feels like wealth until you realize it's actually a liability. This is the freezer cleanout, the reckoning, where we stop guessing and start calculating. Because the most expensive meat you will ever own isn't the Wagyu ribeye from the boutique butcher. It's the 4-pound roast that's been buried under a bag of frozen peas for 18 months until it's so freezer burned it's only fit for the barn cats. If you're overbuying, you're bleeding money into the electric grid just to store waste. If you're underbuying, you're one supply chain hiccup or one bad season away from an empty plate. Today, we are going to find the Goldilocks zone of protein. We're going to strip away the prepper panic and the sale bin greed to figure out exactly, down to the ounce, how much meat your specific family actually needs to thrive. This is the truth about the freezer cleanout. Most people approach meat storage like they're stocking a bunker for a decade-long siege, but homesteading isn't about hoarding, it's about flow. When I first started, I thought a successful freezer was one where the lid barely closed. I felt safe seeing those stacks of pork chops and whole chickens. But safety is an illusion if that food isn't moving through your kitchen and into your family's bellies. The old way of thinking tells us to buy whenever there's a deal, or to butcher everything at once and hope for the best. That leads to what I call freezer fatigue, that feeling of guilt every time you look at a frozen roast because you know it's getting older and less palatable by the day. The farm fresh way is different. We treat the freezer like a high turnover warehouse, not a museum. We look at the psychology of why we overstock. Usually, it's fear. We fear rising prices, we fear empty shelves, or we fear that we aren't real homesteaders if we don't have a year's worth of beef on hand. But let's be honest, meat quality begins a slow, steady decline the moment it hits sub-zero temperatures. Even the best vacuum seal can't stop the eventual degradation of texture and flavor. To be truly self-reliant, you have to understand the math of your own table. You have to be protective of your resources, and that includes the space in your freezer and the dollars in your wallet. If you are paying for the electricity to keep a 3-year-old brisket frozen, you aren't saving money, you're losing it. We have to shift our philosophy from as much as possible to as much as purposeful. So, let's get down to the granular tactics. How do we find that magic number? It starts with a 7-day audit, and I mean a literal pen and paper audit. For 1 week, I want you to track every single ounce of protein that hits your dinner table. Don't guess, don't estimate. If you cook a pound of bacon for breakfast and 3 pounds of ground venison for chili, write it down. Most families find that they actually consume a very consistent baseline volume. Once you have that weekly number, multiply it by 52. That is your annual intake. If your family eats 10 pounds of meat a week, you need 520 pounds a year. Now, here is where most people mess up the math. They forget about hanging weight versus take-home weight. If you buy a half cow that weighs 300 pounds on the hook, you aren't putting 300 pounds of meat in your freezer. After the bones are removed and the fat is trimmed, you're looking at a significant reduction, sometimes up to 40%. You have to account for that gap so you don't end up with an empty freezer by October. But the clean-out tactic is about more than just math. It's about organization. You need a first-in, first-out system. I use a simple color-coded dot system. Everything butchered or bought in the first quarter of the year gets a green sticker. Second quarter gets blue. If I'm digging in the freezer and I see a green sticker when I'm already in the blue season, that meat moves to the top of the pile. No exceptions. Another common pitfall is the variety trap. We think we need every cut imaginable, but if your family never eats liver, stop saving the liver. If no one likes ham hocks, stop letting them take up space. You are the curator of this collection. If a cut of meat doesn't have a clear path to a recipe within the next 6 months, it shouldn't be in your long-term storage. Think about the vision of a perfectly balanced freezer. Imagine opening that lid and seeing exactly what you need, clearly labeled, organized by date, and knowing that every single package in there is at its peak of freshness. There's a profound peace of mind that comes with knowing your family is fed for the next 6 months without a single wasted ounce. You aren't just storing calories, you're storing the hard work of your hands or the careful allocation of your hard-earned income. When you master the volume, you reclaim your kitchen. You stop the what's for dinner panic because your inventory is so clear, it practically writes the menu for you. Success isn't a full freezer, it's a functional one. Your zero-cost task for today is simple, but it's the hardest part of the process. I want you to go to your freezer right now, pull out every single item that is older than 1 year, and move it to the very front. That is your menu for this week. No grocery store trips, no new purchases, just eat what you've already paid for. Clear the deck so we can start building your calculated reserve. Next time, we're going to talk about the 3-bin system for rotating your garden harvest, but for now, get to the bottom of that chest freezer. Your future self will thank you for the space.